Ever since the beginning of time, there's been those that have come and thought they had the answer or that they were the answer. Then God sent Jesus into the mix. And in his name, you can find peace, joy, and love, and everything that you need in his name. Amen. One man come in the name of love. One man come and go. One man come here to justify. One man to overthrow. One man sacrificed, one man to save what's been undone, one man to make it right.
In the name of love, he came in the name of love
for you and me.
In the
do it.
Love.
It's all about God.
Love. 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 Love.
One more time.
Love.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not die but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him and in him you and I might be saved. Oh, I'm thankful. Oh, so thankful. Darkness filled the eastern skies. The time had finally come. Tears fall from a mother's eye to mourn a blameless son.
In the day of love, he comes in the name of love.
Yes, he does.
In the name of love, he comes in the name of love.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 oh,
God is good.
All the time.
So great to see everybody out on this weekend, those who are on campus, those who are watching online. It is Easter season here at Cathedral of Faith. What an exciting time it is. Would you let Pastor Dan know how much you appreciate him and our creative arts team helping us to kick things off? We begin this new series entitled, In the Name of Love. It'll take us right up to Easter weekend because the story of Jesus really is the story of love. The way that he lived his life and the death that he died, it really is all about love. We have found the name of love, and the name of love is Jesus. And we're going to be celebrating that, experiencing that over these next 6 weekends. Well, each weekend you'll see a dramatic musical reenactment of how the love of Jesus touched the world back then. And then you'll hear a message about how that same love can touch our world today. And my prayer is that at the end of this journey, that God's love will take hold of our hearts and our minds all over again. And that transforming power of his love, well, it'll lift us up and transform our lives in the best kind of way. There's a man who was in prison. This is the kind of thing that happened to him. At this particular prison, they didn't allow the prisoners to have cigarettes. So the prisoners came up with creative ways in order for them to have a smoke. So what they would do is they would find paper and they would take tea leaves and they would take the residue of nicotine gum and they would roll it up so they could have a smoke. Where there's a will, there's a way. And this one man, here's what he did. He took the paper that he found, paper from the Bible, and he says this is what he did. He says that he smoked his way all the way through Matthew, through Mark, through Luke, and then he came to the book of John, and he came face to face with the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That these 26 words, he took hold of them, they took hold of him, and the love of God transformed his life in the best kind of way, right there in that jail. Amen? Hallelujah! And my prayer is that that same love, in fact, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you'd stand with me, please. We're going to read that same verse, John 3:16. It's the most famous verse in the Bible, declaring the love that God has for us at Easter. Would you read it with me? Let's fill this place with the Word of God, everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. One more time. For God so loved. Just stop right there. God didn't just love. For God so loved. Do you know how much you're loved by God? Say it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him. Stop right there. Whoever? Whoever. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God, thank you for your amazing love. Once again, my prayer is that your love would take hold of our minds and our hearts, and that we would leave here. This week will be different because we met you and your love in this moment. That's our heart. That's our desire. All God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise for his amazing love? Hallelujah. Amen. Before you're seated, give somebody a handshake or a high five or a fist bump and tell them, God loves you. Yeah, God loves you. That's the big takeaway of the Easter season. In fact, what is the sermon about today? The sermon is about this right here. Did you ever play this game? As a kid, you would pick up a flower and you would say, "He loves me. He loves me not." Oh, man. "He loves me. He loves me not." It's an old French game called the Daisy Oracle, trying to figure out, how does that other person feel about me? This is the sermon. In fact, this is the message of Easter, that in Jesus we find a love like this. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. That's the takeaway of the Easter season. Can we give God praise for His amazing love? His love. In just a few moments, our very special guest for the weekend, Justin Flom, is going to come out and team up with me. But before that, I want you to just think with me about, well, as we enter into this season, what kind of love we find in Jesus. It really is a radical love. If you let it take hold of your mind and your heart, this week will be different. The first thing is that in Jesus we find a love that knows all about our weakness, that God is the one, well, who knows our worst but loves us best. The Bible says this about that love. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still what? Sinners. While we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Are you kidding? While we were still sinners? I am so used to, you are so used to, in our world, in our culture, we are loved based on conditions. We are loved based on performance. When we are at our best, people love us. But even at our worst, we're so used to being loved. "Well, I love you because," husbands, if I asked you today, "Why do you love your wife?" And you'd say, "Ken, I love her because," time out. You better pause, think very carefully about what you say next, because, well, I heard about this one man, and he fell in love with this beautiful woman. She had this beautiful hair and a beautiful smile and this beautiful singing voice, and so they ended up getting married that night. They go back to the hotel for their honeymoon, and he's sitting there on the bed, and he watches her as she takes off that beautiful hair. It was a wig. And then she takes out those beautiful teeth. They were false. And at that point, the guy looks at her and says, "Sing, honey, sing. Please sing." Whenever you say, "I love you because," what you're really saying is, "I love you as long as this is true about you." See, we're so used to being loved based on condition, and then we find in Jesus a love that absolutely rocks our world, that, well, God doesn't love us. Well, He doesn't say, "I love you because." God says, "I love you just because." That His love is not based on what we do. His love is based on who He is. That it's His nature to love. It's His character to love. That He is love, and that's why He loves us. "I love you just because." Can you hear the love of God speaking to your heart and your mind, that even at your worst, while we were yet sinners, even at your worst, Ken, you don't know what I've done. Even at your worst, Ken, you don't know the demons I fight. Ken, even at your worst, Ken, you don't know about the many times I've failed. That even at your worst, God loves you best. God loves you best. It's a love that will rock your world. In the Bible, there's a man by the name of Judas. Even if you don't know the Bible very well, you've probably heard of Judas, because Judas is the most famous, other than Jesus, he's the most famous or infamous person in the story of Easter. And in a few weeks, we're going to see Judas dramatized right here in the service. And we're going to think about, what do you do when somebody stabs you in the back? And here you have Judas, that even in the midst of a betrayal, even on the night of betrayal, the love of Christ is reaching out to him. Don't miss this amazing love. That there in the upper room, the love of Jesus washes the feet of Judas. That there at the table around the Last Supper, Jesus' love gives the best seat to Judas. And even when Judas gives the kiss of betrayal, Jesus looks at Judas and his love calls him friend. Excuse me? I can think of a lot of other things to call Judas in that moment. Friend isn't one of them. But somehow, the love of Jesus looks even at Judas. And even at his worst, God still loves him the best. Hallelujah. It's the kind of love that we find in Jesus. We are so used to being loved at our best, but the love we find in Jesus says that even at our worst, God still loves us best. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. That's the good news of Jesus. Can we give him praise? Amen. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. I want that to get in your spirit. Say it with me. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. He knows all about our weakness, and yet he still loves us. I love you just because. And then in Jesus, we find a love that shows us our true worth. Well, here's another big takeaway from the love of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, we read this. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Gave up. Say that with me. Gave up. Say it again. Gave up. Do we have any Giants fans in the house? Let me see your hands. Yeah, got a few Giants fans. It's hard to believe it's already spring training. I brought a baseball that I have at the house, and this baseball was given to me by a friend of mine, and it has the signatures when the Giants won the World Series a while back. All the guys signed it. And this friend of mine, he was on the team at the time, and he was so gracious to give me this baseball with all the signatures of the Giants. Do you know how much this is worth? If you went on eBay, do you have any idea how much this is worth? Let me tell you how much this baseball right here is worth. Do you know how much this is worth? However much you're willing to pay for it. That's how much. How much is it worth? How much are you worth? How much am I worth? The big takeaway from the life and the love of Jesus is that we are of great worth. How much are we worth to Jesus? Does Jesus love us this much, this much, this much? Jesus says, I love you this much. That he lives the perfect life that we could not live, and he dies the death that we deserve to die. He's willing to pay the ultimate price by giving his life. That is how much we are worth to him. That is how much we are worth to him. He pays the ultimate price for us. Do you know how much you're worth? Jesus gave up his life for you so that he could spend eternity with you. That's how much you matter to him. Nobody really took the life of Jesus. What? Nobody really took the life of Jesus. What do you mean? Well, it's true that the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, they put Jesus on the cross, and the religious leaders, they pushed for Jesus to be on the cross, and demonic powers, they were behind the scenes influencing to get Jesus up on the cross, but nobody really took the life of Jesus. The deeper truth is this: Jesus gave up his life. He gave up his life. He paid the ultimate price so that you and I could spend eternity with him. The nails did not hold Jesus' hands to the cross. His love for you held his hands to the cross. That's how much we are worth to him. Amen? That's a great place. Let's give him praise for his amazing love. Hallelujah. Do you know how much you're worth? Where do you get your self-worth from? I found this one bulletin announcement. It was actually in a church bulletin. Here's what it said. It said, low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. Do you think that's helpful? For people with low self-esteem, use the back door. Where do you get your self-esteem from? What defines your worth, really? There are people in our culture where they get their self-worth from, they get it from their net worth. And when their net worth is up, their self-worth is up. But when their net worth goes down, well, their self-worth goes down. There are other people, especially guys, we can get our self-worth from our career path. And when our career path is up, well, our self-worth is up. But when our career path is down, our self-worth is down. Or there are other people, young people, they tend to get their self-worth that when their Instagram followers are up, wow, their self-worth is up. But when their Instagram followers are down, so is their self-worth. Where do you get your self-esteem from? Friend, the most reliable, unshakable place to find your self-worth and your self-esteem is in the love of Jesus. Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price. This is how much you are worth to him. And if you will let the love of Jesus define you this week, don't let this person define you. Don't let that person define you. Let the love of Jesus define you. Let the love of Jesus, you can get your shoulders back. You can lift your head held high because you know who you are. You know who you belong to. Jesus gave his life for you. That's how much you're worth to him. Hallelujah. He loves me. And I can go through life with a healthy self-esteem because of his love. He loves me. Say that with me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This is the message. The love of Jesus is so amazing that even at my worst, he loves me best. And that he's the one who helps me see my true worth. And then finally, he's the one that helps me deal with my doubts. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, and we all have our doubts. The Bible says this. In fact, would you say it with me? It's a great verse. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Say that with me. Nothing. Say it again. Shout it out.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. There's a film that just came out this weekend called The Shack. And here's a trailer from that film.
We've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you too.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blur
The letter showed up in my mailbox with no tracks in the snow.
You're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something. This is all I got.
Ain't it just like love to leave a mark on the skin and underneath?
Keep your eyes on me.
I haven't seen the movie, I've read the book, and the story of the shack goes something like this. There's a man who takes his family camping, they're having a great time, and then the worst you can imagine takes place, and his young daughter is abducted. It's every parent's nightmare. He can't find her, and they just go into deep despair. As a dad, he goes into deep despair. He's a man of faith, but now he's wrestling with his faith. And when pain and suffering hit your world, when it hits your world, it can rattle your faith and you can ask questions. If God loves me, why is this happening? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. And in the film, this man receives a mysterious invitation to go up to what was the place of his pain, this shack. And as he takes this invitation and he goes up to that shack, he has this mysterious encounter with the Trinity. It's an out-of-the-box encounter with God and the love of God. And the man in that experience of the love of God restores his faith and heals his heart and gives him strength and assures him of God's great love for him, that God has never stopped loving him, that even in the middle of an evil world, of a broken world, where there's pain and there's suffering, there's a line from the movie that goes like this: no matter what happens, remember this, I have always loved you. And someone needs to hear that this weekend. That you're walking through pain and suffering. And in those moments, you can have your questions and have your doubts. But God wants you to know today that in the midst of a broken and an evil world, that the one thing that we can be sure of is that he loves us and his love will not let us go. That when Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, it was all about love. That he lived the life that he lived and he died the death that he died. That Jesus, the most innocent person in the history of the world, experienced the ultimate pain and suffering. And he did it because of his great love for the world. And the one thing we can count on, the one thing we can be sure of in this world is that God is with us, God is for us, and his love will not let us go. Hallelujah. That's what we can be sure of today. The Bible says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Do you believe that today? Let's give him praise if you believe that. Hallelujah. There was a young lady who, she was in a bad motorcycle accident, and as a result of the accident, she lost her leg. Now, here you are, a young lady, a believer, a person of faith. You're in an accident, you lose your leg, and now you're looking at the rest of your life. What will life be like? And as she's at home recovering from the accident, her dad, who was a famous pastor, he goes out and he picks a flower from the garden, and he goes inside and he starts picking the petals off of the flower, and he says to his daughter, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. And the plan was to end with the petal, he loves me, and that would be the sermon. But instead, before he could finish, the daughter grabbed the flower out of his hand and said, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. And that is the message of the love of Jesus. The one thing that you and I can rely on in this broken, evil world, even in the middle of pain and suffering, God loves you, and his love will help you overcome an evil world in the name of Jesus. The love of Jesus helps us overcome. Can we give him praise? Amen. Hallelujah. He loves me. Say that with me. He loves me. Say it again. He loves me. Boy, let that take hold of your head and your heart. You know, this weekend, we do have a very special guest with us. Tonight, he'll be doing a special performance. If you haven't got your tickets yet, I encourage you to do so right after service, or you can get them online. It's a great opportunity to invite friends and family members to come see this man, Justin Flom. He's a world-class illusionist. How he uses the gifts that God has given to him to share that love of God with others. God has given him a tremendous platform. He's been on network television and shows like Late Night with Seth Meyers and The Today Show and Rachel Ray and Ellen. He's traveled with country western artists like Florida Georgia Line. Coca-Cola has employed him to do commercials, all kinds of things. God's given him a tremendous platform. He has over 100 million hits on YouTube. Can somebody say wow? And he is here with us today. Most importantly, he's a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And I want you to meet him. Would you give a great big welcome to Justin Flom? Yeah, Justin, great to have you here today. Hey, Justin.
How you guys doing? Good to see you.
Justin, it's so good to have you with us. Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. No, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Definitely show up because it's going to be a really fun show. We're going to do some wild magic that you've never seen before.
Well, Justin, here at Cathedral, we like talking about dreams. And when did God drop a dream into your heart to become an entertainer?
Well, when I was really young, I think God has given each of us a gift, something that we do better than most people. And I discovered when I was really young that I had something that I was really good at. I was really good at lying. So, no, my dad was a magician before me, and my uncle was a magician. My whole family, actually, a family of magicians. So when I was a kid, I was jumping in and out of magic boxes from the age of like 2 years old. I don't remember most of my childhood because most of it was spent in magic trunks and dark boxes. It's not child abuse, that's just magic. So I discovered that magic was my talent, and I grew up in a church performing for congregations just like this one and on missions trips where we would use magic to catch people's eyes so they would listen with their ears so God could touch their heart. Cool thing.
Wow. It's great to see Justin. It's great to see how God has given you just such an amazing platform to share your gift. And when you hear stories of how the love of God is at work behind the scenes in ways that you're not even aware of, but yet that love is drawing people, share with us one story.
I love God's doing love magic out in churches like this, but most of my job is doing magic in the secular world and in the mainstream entertainment, whether it be on the Ellen DeGeneres Show or online. I had a TV show on Sci-Fi for a couple of years. So I got a letter this week from a woman who was in the hospital, and she couldn't move. She couldn't even sit up. She could just lay there and watch TV. So she had an iPad set up, and she watched my whole TV show called Wizard Wars, and then she watched through all of my YouTube stuff. And she kept hearing through my YouTube videos and my bio and stuff that I was a Christian, that I was a Christ follower. And at the end of watching everything I had on the internet, she calls over the nurse and says, please bring the chaplain over. Chaplain comes over, and she accepts Jesus as her Savior.
Praise God. Oh.
So the encouraging thing about that is each of us here have some sort of ability. As I was doing these YouTube videos and TV shows, I wasn't sharing the gospel. I was just living as a light. And people could see, well, there's something different about this guy. And I just proudly proclaimed what I was. I was a Christ follower. I am a Christ follower. But people were able to see that, even though I wasn't, you know, standing and preaching sort of thing. So that encourages you guys, whatever your job is, you can be a shining light.
Well, that's a great word. Being salt and light to our generation, whatever platform God's given to us. And then, Justin, tonight is a very special opportunity. Yeah. You're going to be doing all kinds of things, a whole presentation. But could you give us just a little taste of what that's going to be like?
I can. Well, we were backstage. They said, can you, you know, come out just for this service? Can you come out and maybe teach a magic trick, like share a secret? And I said, no. no. But they said you guys were cool, so I'll teach you this one. It's an old classic of magic. It takes like a bandana, something like that. You can push it into your fist, and you can actually make it look like it changes colors. Okay, it's this cool trick where it goes a little bit in, a little bit out, until it changes all the way.
That's great.
I'll teach you guys how that trick works. There's two bands. You guys look bummed. Okay, so magic's not real, but I'll teach you guys how to do this. Now, before the show, before you decide to do the trick for your friends, you take one bandana and you're going to put it into your hand, okay? This is before the show. The audience doesn't know that this is happening. I do this backstage, right before you introduce me. And then when I walked out on stage, I'm just very careful to keep my fist closed. You didn't notice, but I came out, I keep my fist closed. It's very important, otherwise it'll ruin the trick. Then you can take the bandana, you can push it in, and you can make it look like it changes colors. I know. Yeah, it's a good trick. Now, don't ever do this, okay? If you do that, then the audience will see that you've got more than one bandana. Kind of ruins the illusion, so you have to start the thing over and actually change the color of the bandana. And if you can do that, then you're well on your way to being a magician.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Justin. Well, Justin, we're talking in this service about the good news and the love of God reaching out to us. And do you have something that could kind of demonstrate what the gospel message is?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, how can you be a magician and be a Christian? You know, it seems strange. Well, first of all, I never claimed to have any supernatural ability. I'm just an ordinary guy, just ask my wife. And all the tricks I do are tricks that any five-year-old could do with 20 years of practice. But the interesting thing is we would use magic like Jesus would use a parable to share the gospel or to teach a lesson. So the same way that Jesus would kind of do an object lesson, we can do that with magic. I'll show you what I mean. I'll tell you a story using this rope. Now, this is a story we all know. You might be familiar with it, but this might look at it kind of differently. This end of the rope here, and this object lesson is going to represent us, you and me, the human race. This end of the rope represents God. And in the beginning of life, life was perfect. We were one with God. In fact, you can see there was nothing separating us. This is the time of Adam and Eve. And both Adam and Eve were able to walk through the garden with God together in harmony. And Satan hated that. He tempted Adam and Eve to do the one thing God said not to do, and that was to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And both Adam and Eve ate from that tree, separating them from God. They disobeyed God, so there was now this sin, this void in between us. Life was no longer perfect. Sin entered the world. But that's not where the story ends. You see, God, in his infinite love and mercy, he sent his one and only son, Jesus. And because Jesus was the only perfect man to ever walk the earth, when he died on the cross, he made the perfect sacrifice to bring us back together with God. But you see, there's still this thing that separates us. The Bible says in order to get into heaven, you have to be perfect. And you and I are not. That kind of worked out. That wasn't on purpose, but that worked out. I'm going to keep that in. That was good. Wow. Write that down. Here's the deal. Jesus' gift of forgiveness, his gift of salvation, is like any gift. If I had a gift for you right here, and I said, this gift is for you, it wouldn't be yours until you received it, until you took it. Well, the same goes for Jesus' gift of forgiveness. It's when you receive that gift that he removes that sin, throws it as far as the east is from the west. So please, don't leave your eternity dangling on the end of a rope. You see, life without Christ is a hopeless end, but with him, it's an endless hope.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks so much.
See you guys tonight.
Yeah, let Justin know how much you appreciate him being with us this weekend. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. As we wrap things up, maybe you would say, Ken, I need to take that step. I need to receive the gift. I know about Jesus. I've heard about Jesus, but I've never stepped across the line and become a follower of Jesus. And I want to begin that journey today. Every journey starts with a step, and this is your day to step across the line and begin that journey with Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you, in fact, I'm going to invite everybody to say this prayer after me. Mean it with all your heart. Those here on campus, those that are watching online, and you can leave here beginning that relationship with God. This is what Easter season's all about. Say this after me, everyone. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. And I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I put my faith and my trust in him. I receive Jesus as my Savior. And I make Jesus Lord of my life. I put him in charge. I surrender my life to him. Thank you, God, for loving me like you do. Thank you, God, for making me a part of your family. Amen and amen and amen. Can we give God praise for his amazing love? Hallelujah! Hallelujah!